This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America on this edition of the program, The View from Western Pennsylvania. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. I am back in my hometown of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, to take the political temperature of this key battleground state in the run-up to the midterm elections in November to elect congressional, state, and local representatives, all 435 seats in the lower chamber, the House of Representatives, and one-third of the upper chamber, or Senate, are up for a vote. This year, 20 seats held by the GOP, that is, the Republicans, and 14 by the Democrats are in play. Conventional wisdom says that the party in the White House, so that's the Democrats, lose seats in the midterm election. However, this year may prove to be different, and Pennsylvania is a state many are watching to see if a Senate seat currently held by outgoing Republican Pat Toomey could flip to a Democrat. If that happens in a handful of states, Democrats could possibly hold on to their 50 seats. Some analysts say that the political landscape and some questionable Republican candidates could mean that the Democrats might increase their razor-thin margin in the Senate, defying the odds. Notwithstanding persistent inflation, President Joe Biden has racked up many legislative wins over the past several months. The Inflation Reduction Act to combat climate change, reduce health care costs, and raise taxes on high-wealth corporations, for one, the CHIPS and Science Act to better compete with China, and the Honoring Our Pact Act for veterans exposed to burn pits during military service are just a few. Under the Biden administration, the first gun safety legislation in 30 years was passed. Earlier in the year, a $1 trillion infrastructure bill garnered bipartisan support and was signed into law. And gas prices have been falling for the past 60 days, easing some pain at the pump. Will any of these legislative achievements resonate with Pennsylvanians? How do they view the work of the Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection? About 8 televised hearings have taken place so far, laying out the baseless claims of voter fraud, which former President Trump used as a pretext to incite a mob of his supporters to halt the peaceful transfer of power in January 2021. What are my panelists' thoughts regarding former President Trump's removal of presidential papers from the White House, many of which were classified as top secret, prompting a search by the FBI of his Florida residence, Mar-a-Lago, because he and his team had earlier failed to turn them over voluntarily? Pennsylvania looms large in the upcoming 2022 congressional elections, and we will ask our guests what they think the chances are for their respective candidates for Congress and Senate and even governor, as well as if they believe the Democrats can retain control of the House of Representatives or if it may flip to Republican control, which conventional wisdom says it will. So with us for an update on the politics of Western Pennsylvania in the run-up to the midterm elections are Paul Stefano. He is former chairman of the Democratic Party of Lawrence County, and Richard Flannery. He is a prominent lawyer and leader in the local and national Republican Party. We are actually coming to you from Richard Flannery's law office here in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And gentlemen, welcome to the program. And Richard, thank you again for hosting us here at your office.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
I'd like to start with you. Richard Flannery, how would you gauge the mood, particularly here in Western Pennsylvania, which we have considered Trump country? Trump has been quite popular here among the Republican base. Give us a sense of what the mood is in light of the time that has passed and so many events that I enumerated in my introduction. What's at stake here in Pennsylvania?
I don't think the mood has changed. I think from what I see, particularly here in Lawrence County, is that the people that were for Trump before are more emboldened. I'm not one of them, but I will say that they are there thinking that Trump is getting a raw deal, and they're there to support him. I find that among my friends that are very active in the party, and to respond, I think nothing has changed.
Very interesting. Your take, Paul Stefano, former chairman of the Democratic Party. How do you see the mood here in Western Pennsylvania?
I do agree with Dick as far as the overall mood in Lawrence County and in some parts of the West. Democrats have become a bit more passionate since the January 6th hearings, and also more passionate since the decision to overturn Roe. Roe had been longstanding Supreme Court precedent, which allowed for legal abortion, but some limited restrictions. Roe was overturned at the end of this last Supreme Court term. And with it being overturned, it is now a states' rights issue. It does not mean abortion on demand is illegal, but it's a states' rights issue, which means in some states you're going to see strong restrictions, and in other states, perhaps no restrictions. But it has kind of ignited Democrats a bit, along with the January 6th hearings here in this midterm cycle.
Back to you, Republican Dick Flannery. I'd like to pick up on what Paul said with regard to the reversal of Roe v. Wade, the longstanding law which the Supreme Court recently overturned. That law allowed for a constitutional right to abortion. What effect do you think that may have or not on Republican voters?
It will have an effect. And the question is how much. I know everybody is out there about it, and they're giving their positions, but there are other issues involved too. But it's going to be in play, without a doubt.
Now, let me drill down on that with you, because we're in Western Pennsylvania. There is quite a bit of an anti-abortion sentiment. But I guess the question is, would it go so far as to endorsing the total reversal of Roe v. Wade and then throwing it back to the states? And if that is the case, where do you think, I guess depends on the governor's race here, which we'll talk about in a minute, but do people who are anti-abortion generally, are they in favor of this reversal and throwing it back to the state? And if so, again, how do you think Pennsylvania will handle? Will there be a ban, partial bans? How do you see it?
It's a hard question to answer. I really believe that the abortion position that we have in our legislature in Pennsylvania that was put in by our U.S. Senator's father, Casey, is the answer to this whole thing. And it's a moderate approach to abortion. That's where I'd like to see that go. But to answer your question, I don't know. I mean, there's an awful lot of anti-abortion. And, of course, you're seeing that very much among the Republicans.
Well, let me turn back to you, Paul, and drill down a bit on this abortion question, because nationwide, Democrats believe it will be a main driver to the polls in an election that normally doesn't bring out the vote, you know, midterms, as I said earlier. Yes, the entire House of Representatives, a third of the Senate, a lot of state and local officials, but the president isn't on the ballot. And for that reason, fewer people generally go out to vote. But you think, in fact, that this could drive those who are in favor of having abortion as a right? You think that that could bring out not just the Democrats, but even, as Dick was alluding to, moderate Republicans, some women in particular in the suburbs, who really don't want a draconian ban or even partial bans?
I do think it is going to drive turnout. It may not be enough, perhaps, to change what we're used to with conventional wisdom, that we, the Democrats, would lose seats. But it might, because it's changed the dynamic. It's no longer just a conversation that people can have. It can't be, well, you know, I'm pro-life, and then it's just a statement. Or people, well, I'm pro-choice, but maybe voting wasn't a priority. At this point, it being now pushed back to the states too, people are going to have to pay attention and probably be active and vote their thoughts on that issue, because the states are going to determine where we stand. I kind of agree with Dick that some type of moderately restricted setup, I think, might be the answer for a lot of states like Pennsylvania, where I think overall we're a pro-choice state, but a pro-choice with a little more of a restriction on various different fronts. But I do think it's no longer just conversation. I think it's going to become an issue where voters step up and do vote. And it seems from polling that we are a pro-choice nation. Maybe not a strongly pro-choice nation, but a pro-choice nation. And we've never before had it truly as a ballot issue. And we can take some lessons from what we saw in Kansas. So in Kansas, there was a ballot measure. Kansas currently has within their state constitution a constitutional right to choose. A ballot measure would have ended that. That ballot measure was defeated. And the right to choose still exists within the Kansas state constitution. And the reason why Kansas, besides that they actually dealt with the issue right away, Kansas is a strongly Republican state. It is a conservative state. It has a good history of being a strong Republican state, partisan-wise as well. So it was an interesting lesson for how this might go nationally. Was there an overreach on the pro-life side or not? We'll see.
Indeed, a very good point. Many analysts say that it's the first time that the Supreme Court has actually taken a right away from the American people. And as you said, Paul, I think about 60% of Americans are in favor of allowing abortion with restrictions that are encompassed in Roe v. Wade, but we shall see. You are listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Castiel. My guests are Paul Stefano. He's former chairman of the Democratic Party of Lawrence County here in western Pennsylvania, and attorney Richard Flannery, a member of the Republican leadership in Lawrence County. He's a former Republican state committeeman. And we are coming to you from none other than Newcastle, Pennsylvania, where they both reside and where I was born. We're discussing the political landscape in the run-up to the 2022 midterm elections. And this is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available on our website at voaafrica.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter at @Carol_Castiel or connect with us on Facebook at Current Affairs with Carol Castiel. So back to our special guests, and let me turn now to Richard Flannery. Richard, let's get into what's at stake here in Pennsylvania. I think the Senate race, as I alluded to in my introduction, is quite fascinating and perhaps a test of whether former President Trump's endorsement would make a difference. So we have a gentleman, a Republican, Mehmet Oz, who Mr. Trump endorsed. He's the Republican, as I said. And then we have the Democrat, John Fetterman, quite a character, a very tall man. He is a populist. Talk about these two and how you see this matchup and whether you think the Republicans can hold on to this seat currently held by Pat Toomey. How do you see it? And give us a description of why this is an interesting race, given Mr. Oz's background, if you will.
I can never understand why Trump endorsed Oz. They are very different in their views on many, many things. But regardless, Trump did it. And it's going to be a demonstration as to Trump's influence around the country and here in particular. We have to acknowledge, whether we like Trump or not, that he still has the pull. And we've seen it somewhat. He's not got it everywhere in recent elections. So it's going to be, in my view, what he can do for Oz. I think Oz needs help, that right now he's not pulling it. The other gentleman, I don't know him. And he makes me nervous with some of the things he believes in. And I'm concerned about him being the senator. I know a lot of people that like Oz. And again, I think it's going to be turnout. And it's going to be Trump's going to have a lot to do with it.
Certainly like to get your take on this very important Senate race, which, depending on other Senate races, you know, could even determine the balance of the Senate, because we have a 50-50 Senate, Paul, and right now a Republican is sitting in Pennsylvania. Tell us why this race could potentially flip, if you think it would, to John Fetterman. Describe both candidates and to what extent you think that the Democrats will come out knowing that they have so much at stake. Their vote could matter in terms of the balance of the Senate. And how do you think the Republicans, who might, notwithstanding Trump's endorsement, be a little skeptical of Mr. Oz? I think Mr. Fetterman has been, as we say, trolling him, and you might want to talk about that.
Since we've known who the two candidates were, Fetterman's held a lead. Depending on what poll you look at, it has fluctuated, but he's never not had a lead. He's never been inside the margin of error. Fetterman, because of how he carries himself with gym shorts, the hoodie, shaved head, gigantic figure, he's kind of flipped the idea of the celebrity candidate on its head. Trump, when he endorsed Oz, said, you know, I'm tending to lean to him because he's a star like me. Probably until COVID, Dr. Oz was the most famous doctor for a time in America. He did surgery, I think, on President Clinton, heart surgery. Had a daytime show where he talked about different remedies for health issues. Great with the camera, great speaker, very charismatic. And he received the Trump endorsement, and Trump had made a reference to he being a celebrity or a star just like he is. Fetterman is not, at least in appearance, not the standard politician. Wears gym shorts, wears a hoodie, has tattooed on him, when he was mayor of the former steel town, Braddock, Pennsylvania, he had had a tattoo of the murders that had occurred in Braddock. And so he doesn't cut a figure as a normal politician, But in the era of the celebrity politician, which perhaps we're in, he's kind of flipped the concept of celebrity on its head because he's been able to effectively troll Dr. Oz, who did move into the state relatively recently, I guess living with his in-laws. He had been a New Jersey resident. Fetterman successfully trolled him on social media. He's also successfully built an image of kind of a Stilltown celebrity of himself, you know, and he's done very well. He did very well in the Democratic primary in places where Trump did well. And the idea of John Fetterman, the success he's had is selling himself as different than a regular politician. He talks about these declining steel towns, and he says, look, these places are being wasted by the national government, and they don't have a remedy for these problems that you're facing. I wanted to solve these problems when I was mayor of Braddock. And so he's done well in those places. I like John Fetterman in the Democratic primary. I did not support him. I supported Congressman Connor Lamb, but it was never close. Fetterman got a lead, and he did well in a lot of the places where Trump had done well. And I don't want to say I'm confident because I don't want to be overly confident. But I am confident, I guess I would say, that he is going to defeat the celebrity Dr. Oz.
Well, Dick Flannery, I need to follow up with you on that because, as Paul said, this gentleman, John Fetterman, he's not your typical politician or even a Democrat, but he's centrist Democrat, leaning left. He has that populist appeal. And as Paul said, he seems to be appealing to some people where Trump won. So my question to you is, do you think he can appeal to some Republicans and peel them off, given the lack of popularity of Trump's candidate, Mehmet Oz, who until recently lived in New Jersey, and people are making a lot of jokes about that?
I think it depends on where you are. Like I said at the beginning, it won't happen in Lawrence County. Trump's going to hold on to his people here.
And therefore, Oz is likely to win in this county.
I don't think it. Wait, win what?
In the county.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. Now let's turn to the governor's race. Very big race between the Democrat Josh Shapiro. He's the current Attorney General of Pennsylvania. There's a Democrat in the governor's mansion, and he'd like to replace that gentleman. But the Republican candidate is Doug Mastriano, and he distinguishes himself as a very Trumpian candidate. So let's look at the governor's race, Dick Flannery, because the governor's races are very important now in the country as more and more issues are coming to the state level, whether it's abortion or voting rights and how to certify elections. So, Dick Flannery, how do you see this matchup? And do you think that the Democrats will be able to hold on, or this Mr. Mastriano, who has very controversial positions, let's be clear?
This is one area where Trump might not be able to pull it off. Shapiro's the one that's the Democrat that's running, that he's very popular. He's done some good things as the Attorney General. He, in my view, is going to take away Republican votes. I think that the Republican candidate, unfortunately, I'm going to say this, is a bit too extreme for many, many, many people. And it has to do with anything you want to talk about. In fact, it's scary. So that said, I think the Democrats have a better shot at the governorship than maybe the Senate, but who knows? That's what I think.
Paul Stefano, I'd like to get your take on the governor's race.
I do agree with Dick Mastriano. His positions are too extreme. He seems at some level to have participated. Where he was on January 6th, we don't know, but he was there. However, I have a concern. That race is still at the same 4 or 5 points it's been at. And I am worried that he is hanging on. I do find his opinions to be too much. I know a lot of Republicans that are not happy with Doug Mastriano. But that race, at least polling-wise, shouldn't be close. And he's still lingering around, and I don't know why. As a Democrat and as a Pennsylvanian, I am concerned. I don't know how Doug Mastriano is that close, and it bothers me. I think the opposite. I think Fetterman's going to win. These numbers scare me, though. I guess I think Shapiro will win. I really do. But the polling isn't what I think it should be.
So, Dick Flannery, I did a bit of a laundry list of President Biden's successes, all of these pieces of legislation which could easily help both Republicans and Democrats, Americans. But I'd like to get your take on to what extent you think that they will have an impact on voters Does it resonate with any Republican voters? And how much the recent events surrounding former President Trump, whether it's the January 6th hearings on the riot at the Capitol, the attack on January 6th, whether it's his taking of papers to Mar-a-Lago and how that prompted the FBI search, to what extent will these things factor in the 2022 midterms, in your view?
What's interesting is this. I think that Biden will get some points. I don't think it'll be enough to get him over the finish line. I think he's been a disaster as a president of the United States with regard to our economy, with regard to the people coming in the southern borders. There are things going on that he does not take care of, and that is going to be remembered. But I think that he is more progressive than he said he was going to be, and that in some respects he's been taken over. So I don't buy President Biden as being a big deal in this coming election. Somewhat, we'll find out. Now, as far as January 6th, to me, January 6th is the ball game. To me, it's more important than anything we've been talking about here today. And where that goes depends on what's going to happen to this country. And in my view, I hope that people don't lose sight of it and get on board with it and deal with it. And that, to me, is a message to everybody, especially Republicans.
So what you're saying, Dick, if I understand you, is what President Trump allegedly did, inciting this riot, trying to stop the peaceful transfer of power, that needs to be front of mind, especially when you think of Liz Cheney, the representative from Wyoming, who has taken a lot of flack as a very staunch Republican and conservative when she says that she will not abide election deniers, and she has stood apart from the majority of the party, she and Adam Kinzinger, but she has really been outspoken. Is that your message?
Yes, it is, and she's an amazing person. We need to get things turned around here when it comes to not just January 6th. It's what he did in Georgia. That's the one that may get him in jail before it's over. I'm just throwing that out.
No, that's interesting. So just remind us real quick for the international audience, that is President Trump at the time after the election in 2020, he called the Secretary of State and asked him to find some 11,000 something votes that would
Whatever.
Have given him the election. And what you're saying is that's just reprehensible.
It was a little bit more than that. Yeah.
Okay, well, we shall see. So basically now over to you, Paul, to what extent you think the Biden wins legislatively in addition to the reversal of Roe v. Wade, is that going to propel Democrats and maybe make a difference here in the midterm elections?
As a Democrat, you know, I talk to people, and I think Biden did have successes legislatively. I do think he's been a good president. I talk to people every day that recite a number of issues that they sound like they're me. And then they tell me that they have to vote Republican. I think my party is a complete disaster in messaging and communicating. And that's my biggest concern going into this midterm, that we are incapable of getting people to connect. Wait, I like that policy. I should vote for the party that brings me those policies. And so that's where I think my worry is.
You're talking to Republicans who like some policies, but they're still going to vote Republican.
And it's gotten worse over time. In my eyes, worse. Maybe in the eyes of Republicans, it's been good that they're getting the votes. But I think over time, the Democratic Party has failed to connect with people to get their votes. And so while I do think this string of victories is good, these legislative victories, I think it could have been even better if the party could have more effectively promoted them.
Well, there's still time, but we shall see. As we close, very quickly, Dick Flannery, where do you think the House of Representatives is going? And what about the Senate?
I have no doubt about the House. It's going to flip really nice to the Republicans. As far as the Senate goes, I am concerned about the Senate. But the House, I'm very confident.
Last word to you, Paul Stefano.
I believe the Democrats will hold the Senate. In the House, conventional wisdom says there's no chance. However, generic ballot polls have been consistently in the Democrats' favor in a way that they haven't been in other midterms. Will that help? I don't know. But I have to root for my team.
Well, on that note, that is just about all the time we have on this edition of Encounter from Western Pennsylvania. I'd like to thank my guest, Paul Stefano. He's former chair of the Democratic Party of Lawrence County, and Richard Flannery. He's a Republican activist here in Pennsylvania. Thank you both for your terrific insights. Encounter was produced in Pennsylvania and Washington with technical assistance from Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on the Voice of America.